Blame me.
Point at you.
The Conference Committee on Senate File 1012 will come to order. This is the LCCMR Appropriations Bill for 2009. There are some small differences between the House and Senate language. No differences in appropriations. And Representative Lagunias and I have talked briefly and proposed an amendment that we'd like to present to members. Representative Lagunias?
I will move Amendment A1. There was rider language that was different in the House and the Senate. The Senate had more rider language than the House. The House had the rider language adopted by the LCCMR on, I think it was December 12th, and it was carrying the language that the LCCMR had had about prairies restoration the two previous years. The Senate language was new language that was adopted, and so what we are proposing as a compromise is the language, in essence, though just for grammar, it's set up a little bit differently, but in essence is the language that's carried and voted on in the bonding bill, that was carried and voted on in the omnibus bill. And so that is on page one. And then if you look at on page two, there are amendments that were in the Senate bill but not in the House bill, or rider language in that Senate bill but not in the House bill, that talks about how restorations should be done. And it appears to me that this is good, strong language, and that I would ask members to adopt it. I would say that there are two little teeny additional pieces. It says if you acquire new lands, you should have a restoration plan. And secondly, currently in LCCMR, they're supposed to have a budget annually. There's a House amendment that said that the LCCMR could budget biennially or annually. This is not telling them what to do, but is giving them that additional option. And I would ask Ms. Thornton and staff if I have covered everything that I need to cover.
Ms. Thornton.
Madam Chair, Representative Lagunias, and members, yes, you have. Thank you. I was running around a little bit, so I may have missed something. I apologize.
I just want to make sure I covered the differences.
So, Representative Lagunias, let me just make sure the last thing that you said about the language. We have the A1 amendment in front of us, members. That's the proposed compromise. Mm-hmm. And the language that you described that is in the Senate bill on page 2 of the amendment about restoration plan. Mm-hmm. Was there any change made to that from the Senate language? That's what I'm looking. I don't believe so.
No, there was no.
Okay,
no
so
change.
That's all the Senate language. And then page 1 is the compromise language.
And then
the last section is the
page 4 is the annual or biennial.
So it doesn't specify annual or biennial. It gives the election. It just makes it possible to do either. Senator Frederickson, I know you had attempted to talk to the governor's office about that.
We've been in conference committee.
Yeah, we've been a little busy, so we haven't heard of any objections to that language. Was in the House bill, correct?
It was an amendment made in the House.
Was that on the House floor or in committee? So it was on the LCCMR bill in the House for quite a while before it passed.
And it has raised no controversy whatsoever because it's permissive language, not mandatory language.
So I would hope that that would be acceptable. Senator Frederickson.
Madam Chair, there's about 3 pages of underlying language here. And how much of it is new? Some of it looks like it's just pretty much repeated from what was already in the bill.
I believe it's all repeated language, but I would ask Ms. Thornton.
Ms. Thornton.
Madam Chair, Sharon Federson, representing Wagenius. Yes, this deletes your subdivision 11, your project requirements. The only new language is on 1.15 to 1.16, beginning and end when. And then page 2 is all identical to the Senate adopted language. On line 2.1 to 2.29 was not in the House bill. The Senate bill, line 2.3 to 2.33 was in the Senate bill and not the House bill. And then starting on line 3.34, that is the new 116P amendment that was discussed.
I'm sorry, could you highlight those again?
Sure.
Senator
Frederickson.
Madam Chair, I have a question in my mind. I'm looking at two very similar provisions. The first is on page 1, line 22, but all conservation easements are perpetual. It's fine. But then on the paragraph 3 under that, the triple I, specifies all of the provisions of an agreement. Oh, I understand that. I misread it. I read it too quickly.
Oh, I see. Specify all provisions that are perpetual?
That are perpetual,
okay.
Right. I missed that.
Okay. That makes sense. That's a good clarification. Didn't just say specify that it's perpetual, which was already said.
There might be some provisions that are perpetual easement, but not perpetual.
Not perpetual? Okay. Okay. Any other questions?
Well, I would renew my motion that we adopt A1.
No, Madam Chair, I'm sorry, if I could ask a question. I'm sorry, I asked Susan,
Thornton.
Could go through the changes again. And is this language off of the Senate version or the House version? It's off the Senate version.
Representative Moon, on the first page, it's there's some little bit of compromise language, but beyond that, it's, well, I can't remember if the rest of page 1 is in the Senate. Let's let Ms. Thornton, she can answer better than I can.
Members, and I went very quickly, I apologize. The House and Senate have always been identical down through line 1.15. New language is 1.15 to 1.16, as Representative Wagenius explained. 1.17 through 2.9 is always in both bills. 2.1 to 2.29 was in the Senate bill and was in an earlier version of the House bill, as was 2.3 to 2.33. The remaining underlying language is identical to what was in both the House and the Senate bills. And for the most part, this is language, rider language, that has been in some slight variation in the LCCMR recommendations bills over the last several months.
And then the last page was a House amendment.
Thank you.
Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to point out that what's not in here are a number of provisions that were in the LCCMR recommendations that, you know, now if you're using seeds beyond the geographic area, you have to give express approval. There was a hierarchy that was in the original where you could use them in certain conditions, and then there was two. If you look at the side by side, 17.21 and 18.2, there were some directives on when you could, and then if you couldn't meet that, then you could do it upon approval. So those are not included. I'm going to point that
that's
out.
True.
That's
true.
The language of it is also
that are deleted, and that this is a substitute for that and is presented as a compromise, because the compromise language that's presented here is what's been adopted by the House and Senate in just about every bill that's passed this session.
That has to do with restoration.
That's related to the issue. Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Regarding 17.20, the LCCMR voted to apply this 25 miles of the county border requirement only to scientific natural areas. That was a pretty strong vote. Now, it's my understanding that your A1 amendment replaces that, is that correct?
That's right.
And so, does this new language only apply to scientific natural areas as the LCCMR voted to apply these restrictions to, or does it apply to all acquisitions?
It applies to all restorations now, whether it's an SNA or any other. So it's less prescriptive than language that the LCCMR adopted. But it's a compromise between the two versions that the LCCMR had of different provisions.
I guess, Madam Chair, I read that differently. It seems like it's less prescriptive than before, but more prescriptive than what the LCCMR passed in December, excuse me, in January, because the LCCMR only voted to apply these restrictions to scientific and natural areas.
Yes, but I'm just going to ask Senator Chaudhry to look on the bottom of, or the top of R18, which says in non-scientific and natural areas, I believe, it does say that paragraph 2 at the top of R18 is the language that's the LCCMR recommended, I think, for non-SNAs. And that is very similar to what we're proposing here. Representative Wiggins.
Members, here's the kind of the basis of the difference. LCCMR adopted a proposal with 12 votes, which is a statutory number to bring a bill forth as a recommendation on December 12th. On January, in the middle of January, I think it was the 11th, LCCMR adopted some amendments. However, there were not the requisite 12 votes to make a recommendation. So the House carried the December bill as was recommended in the December meeting because it had 12 votes.
Madam Chair, Representative Genius, but the House did not pass what the LCCMR had recommended in December, correct?
Yes. No, we did. We passed exactly, well, with one exception. We passed the bill that LCCMR recommended in December. There was one amendment, and the one amendment said that the LCCMR could choose whether to do a biennial or an annual budget. So that was the one amendment that passed that wasn't in the LCCMR in December.
Madam Chair, Representative Genius, I was there when the LCCMR voted to restrict these native prairie requirements to scientific natural areas, and now it's not here.
That was in January.
So it clearly hasn't gotten through the House. I don't know what the Senate's, what we passed in the Senate, if we changed that, but was there an amendment to change that scientific natural area language in the House?
There wasn't an amendment because we used the recommendations of December, which were passed by the LCCMR. Remember, the LCCMR passed a spreadsheet with the recommendations and the writers that had always been there. That is what the House then, there were 12 votes. That was the requisite number of votes. And so we went to pass the bill that had the requisite number of votes.
So then, Madam Chair, either Madam Chair or Representative Davis, does the A1 amendment reflect what the LCCMR passed in December?
The A1 amendment is a compromise between the Senate position and the House position. that how the House position was, I would say, stricter from the December provisions adopted by the LCCMR were stricter than those that are being proposed now. The reason we're using the language proposed now is because it's the language that is now being commonly used.
Chair Representative Wagenius, I thought you said that the House, with only one exception on the biennial, passed the December recommendation of the LCMR. But what I thought you just said was that the House was stricter than the December recommendations.
The December recommendations were the spreadsheet plus using all of the general statutory riders that had been used by the LCCMR. Those were the December recommendations. In January, there were some changes made, but they only had 11 votes. We used the December that had 12.
So the House position was to require the 25-mile boundary for finding seats for any restoration. The Senate position was to only require the 25-mile boundary for seats for SNAs, but to have looser standards for every other restoration. The compromise position is to have is actually less restrictive than either one, and it's to have, I believe, to have similar language to what the less restrictive standard was for all restorations. So it seems to me there shouldn't be any, anybody who was concerned about the 25-mile requirement being too rigid should be very happy with this compromise because it removes it completely.
Madam Chair, I just want to point out that there was a difference in LCCMR's membership in January. There were memberships on the LCCMR that were not filled in the January meeting, and that's pretty much the only reason it got 11 votes. So I think to characterize that there was support for one provision over another from December to January discounts the fact that there was a major gap in the membership of the LCCMR at the time. And I should also add that there was significant discussion in LCCMR about whether we should make a biennial recommendation. And the conclusion and overwhelming vote of the LCCMR was that we should stay with an annual recommendation. So I'm not, even though this language in here is maybe permissive to a biennial recommendation, I it's certainly not what the LCCMR wants to do. In fact, one of the main tenets of the new LCCMR was to go to an annual system. So I see this as a backtracking of that.
Senator Shelby, the legislature required it to be 1 year, but I don't recall the LCCMR ever voting on that. I don't think they've ever taken a vote for or against that position. And this just allows an election of either. It's not prescriptive, it just opens the option up. And certainly the legislature would have the right to weigh in on that at any time.
Madam Chair, what I'm referring to is an extensive discussion in December about whether we should make a biennial recommendation. And we had an extensive discussion on that, and there was significant disagreement that we should do that.
Well, I think we talked about whether we should spend money from the second year. It didn't in the first year. Not whether we should just do the whole two-year budget at one time, which I would see as two different things. We weren't proposing doing the whole budget in 1 year.
This last question, Madam Chair.
Senator Shelby.
Do you or Ms. Thornton know if the rest of the members of the LCCMR were notified of the Conference Committee hearing today?
Ms. Thornton.
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry and members, yes. When I sent out after the House acted, earlier this week, I sent a notice out to members and indicating the changes. I attached both the House and Senate versions to that email, as we standard do, you know, on things. And then we informed them that there would probably be a conference committee, and we would let them know as soon as we were informed. And I did send out an email both last night and this morning.
Chair, Ms. Thornton, did you send an email out to all of the commission members last night or this morning about this meeting time and place?
Chair and members, as we knew it last night, it was scheduled for 11:30, and then this morning, I sent another one when it was postponed, with indicating that. I received notification of this 2:00 time. I was not at my desk.
Madam Chair,
Senator Shadrin,
it's a pretty simple question. Did you send the notice of this time and place of this conference committee meeting to all of the members of the commission?
Ms. Thornton.
Madam Chair, Senator Shadrin sent the meeting notice last night. I sent the meeting notice this morning that it was going to be delayed and would be scheduled at the call of the chair.
Which we do.
Madam Chair.
Around here every day.
I'm not hearing a yes on that question.
She just said she sent out the notice twice, Senator Chaudhry. Senator Bickerman.
Madam Chair, to all the commissioners.
That's what she said.
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, I've served on different conference committees. You don't notify everybody that they're not on the conference committee. Those of us that served on the conference committee were notified. I knew about it.
Senator, Ms. Thornton sends out notices, multiple notices updating all the commission members of every action we take, and has always done that every step of the way, including for the conference committee. So I think she's gone above and beyond what is required. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, I've had a chance to do some more reading on page one, and I think we have a phrase in here that is unnecessary. Page one, line 18. the phrase is described in this clause. And the sentence is, use of seeds and plant material from beyond the geographical areas described in this clause, and this clause doesn't describe any geographical areas.
So you're suggesting that we amend it by taking out in this clause?
Described.
Oh, so just the geographic areas described?
Madam Chair, the whole issue is whether you need 117 to 120. Because that was based on the hierarchy before, with the 25 miles and everything. So it was basically, if you couldn't meet that, then your other option was to come to the commission to get a waiver as part of the work program. I'm reading two now. It's not as prescriptive, so I'm not sure that you need this.
Representative Guineas.
I think since it says species, native ecotypes to Minnesota, that keeping 117 to 120 in is a good idea, but I think Senator Fredrickson, as usual, gives us better grammar, and I would I just want to make sure that we've got our motions correct. I think we need to adopt the Senate language, and then I would move the House amendment, the amendment A1 with the amendment suggested by Senator Fredrickson. So,
all right, so Representative Wagenius withdraws the A1 amendment. Representative Wagenius moves adoption of the Senate language of the Senate bill on Senate file 1012.
Let me ask counsel exactly how to do this perfectly correctly.
Madam Chair, you may want to move the amendment first to get the language in how you guys would like it, and then move the entire Senate language.
Thank you. That's exactly what I will do.
Fine.
I will move
it. Retract that last one and start over.
Yes.
Representative Wagenius moves the A1 amendment
with
to the Senate file.
With the deletion of in this clause on line 1.818.
So,
Mr. Knapp.
Madam Chair, I just want to be able to understand the sentence now. Is it, so basically you're going to allow them to plant non-native ecotypes to Minnesota under this sentence?
Under which sentence?
The use of seeds and plant material from beyond the geographic areas, which is, as I understand it, mm-hmm. would be native ecotypes to Minnesota.
As long as it's expressly approved.
Right.
So they'd have to come back
but
and
that's
get
what, that's what I'm
permission.
Wondering if that's what you're really want to do. We may want to just say that rather than the geographic area.
I think since we have had this language historically and the commission has dealt with it and we're in conference at this point, I think it we should just leave the language as it is with the exception of removing in this clause.
Ms. Taylor?
Madam Chair, you may just rephrase it to say use of seeds and plant materials beyond these requirements. Just
that would be good.
Does that help?
Does that help?
Yes.
Does that work for everybody?
Right.
Council wins another one. Thank God for council, right?
Absolutely. So Representative Wiginius incorporates that language
I
into her amendment.
I do. And I will renew my motion to pass A1 as amended.
Representative Purcell. Yes,
I
you bet. Who wants to read it? Ms. Taylor, the whole thing?
Use of seeds and plant materials from beyond these requirements must be expressly approved in the work program.
I think beyond. I don't think you need to say from beyond.
Oh, yeah.
So use of seed and plant materials beyond this requirement must be expressly approved in the work program.
Okay.
Does that make sense? All right. Representative Bloom.
Just a question, Madam Chair. And I know we have discussed kind of this language and similar language in the environment finance bill and that. And talked with Representative Wiginius about this yesterday. My overall concern is that as we are discussing these provisions as they cut across various pieces of legislation, that we are very consistent, because in my mind that's kind of the critical issue here, is that
yes.
we're not creating slightly different standards depending on who is either approving the grants or monitoring this process. So can council or anyone confirm that what we're doing really is to the letter the same?
Ms. Taylor?
They're phrased slightly differently, but the end game is the same. Looking at the finance, what we've done in the finance, and I believe the bonding bill, and this, it's similar, depending on where it's placed, obviously. It's phrased differently, so I would say to the letter, but purpose and would be the same.
Okay, because I guess I'm just wondering, even you know, if they're not to the letter, why we wouldn't. I mean, it just seems that we're spending a lot of time kind of with the same thing. Very, unless there's something I'm missing there, which it's entirely possible.
Senator Frederickson.
Madam Chair, the provisions in this bill apply to appropriations from LCCMR. And since we do at times fund research or unique programs, some diverse outcomes from what we fund, they may be a little different than the standard requirements in the general law.
Okay. I have, Madam Chair, language from the conference report. In environment finance, and we have a phrase in there, to the extent possible, a person conducting restoration with money appropriated in the section must plant vegetation or sow seed only of ecotypes native to Minnesota, preferably of the local ecotype, using a high diversity of species, originating from as close to the restoration site as possible, and protect existing native prairies from genetic contamination. So, and I know we discussed this at length during the conference committee, that I guess I'm just wondering if there's any reason to deviate.
Well, you know,
Representative Weedings.
Representative Bloom, you bring up a good point. We should probably change the word grown on 1.14 to originating. So I think that brings some additional consistency. And so I would move that to incorporate that as part of my amendment.
And then Representative Lou, and I appreciate your reminding us exactly what we said. I think
I was thinking about that to the extent possible as well, and I think the fact that we can allow an exemption, if approved, sort of substitutes for that in this case, and it is a little bit different approach, but it's given that these are grants that are overseen by LCCMR, and that's the standard operation, it kind of makes sense to do it this way rather than just to say, you know, go forth and do this to the extent possible. Instead, come to us and we'll decide if it's possible or reasonable.
Madam Chair, and I appreciate your comments on that line, and I think just to the point I'd like to make with this, and I think, and I have reviewed the materials from the Chicago Botanic Garden, and I understand that in wanting to use the best scientific information possible in these restoration projects, but it was acknowledged in the letter as well that, you know, there really wasn't any examination of, you know, economic differences or availability necessary, and I think, you know, just from a acknowledgement of the practical standpoint as well, I would hope that we're not doing something that would perhaps stop a good restoration plan from a perfect restoration plan, because, you know, we have to live in the practical world here, and that would be my only, I would want to make sure that we are providing sort of the flexibility either with the LCCMR or that to make sure that we are making decisions in that manner.
And Representative Bloom, we had a lot of discussion about that in the Senate in particular, and about concern to make sure we balance this with the cost of the seeds and the availability of seeds. But I guess I would just point out the language in the original bills on both sides is quite a bit more proscriptive than this. So
yes.
I think it does put more flexibility in place, and I think that will help.
I think we are headed in the right direction, Madam Chair.
All right. It's been a very good discussion. I think we have Representative Wagenius's motion fully changed. Is everybody clear on that with all the incorporated changes? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
No.
Any further discussion? Representative Wagenius?
Now that we have the language as amended before us, I would like to move the Senate, it's the Senate language 1012.
As amended.
As amended.
On that motion, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. All right, and I think we're done. That's all we need. The
thank you, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank you all. That was probably a world record.
Awesome.
Thank you.